Yep, the new Google TV is here, but is it better? We've also got a camera with a viewfinder in the front. Nicole Lee has incredible 4G. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Welcome to Before You Buy, the show, the review show on Twit, where we get great stuff and then we give everybody who works at Twit a chance to review stuff. I don't think we've ever had this guy review anything.
Leo, no, we haven't. I've never been on Before You Buy, but I'm excited.
Yeah, this is Robert Ballesser, Father Robert Ballesser, Padre SJ in our chat room. Also the host of one of our new shows on Twit, This Week in Enterprise Tech.
That's right, Twit on the set. It's all about enterprise professionals, mm-hmm. IT pros, and just geeks who want to know how it's all put together.
Mondays, noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. It's a great show. You got to watch. This week we gave you this new device. This is something that I think Google announced at Google I.O., the new Google TV. What is it?
It's the GS7 Google TV.
From Sony. Let's take a look.
I'm Father Robert Ballesser, the digital Jesuit, host of Twit, This Week in Enterprise Tech on the Twit Network. And today I've got the Sony GS7 Google TV. The NSZ GS7 is Sony's latest attempt to bring Google TV to the masses. This $200 box aims to be the perfect add-on to your entertainment center, providing internet-connected services and content to any HDMI-connected television. Out of the box, Sony provides the bare essentials, including a remote, the GS7, a power cable, and an IR blaster. My favorite feature of the GS7 has to be its remote. It's a two-sided unit that combines a keyboard on one side with a touchpad on the other. The remote is littered with buttons that look like they are designed to mimic a standard TV or DVR remote, a plus for the less technically inclined, while also including built-in extra functionality for users of PlayStations or Sony TVs. Powered by two AA batteries, the remote connects to the GS7 via Bluetooth and includes volume and channel rocker switches in a side configuration that will be familiar to smartphone users. The touchpad is multi-touch capable and lets you drag, drop, click, pinch, and zoom in the same way that you do with your laptop touchpad. The keyboard is compact, but still quite usable, definitely more so than trying to type in movie, music, and TV titles with a number pad. The remote features a keyboard backlight for typing in low-light conditions and sports accelerometers that automatically turn off the control surface that is face down, so that you don't accidentally type or touch. The GS7 has ports aplenty. It features an in-box power supply, two USB 2.0 ports, 10/100 Ethernet, an IR blaster, digital optical out, and HDMI pass-through featuring HDMI CEC. The CEC means that you can automatically control a CEC-enabled device connected to the GS7 via HDMI, a superior method to the IR blaster. The GS7 is easy to set up. Plug in your HDMI cables, provide power, connect Ethernet and the IR blaster if you plan on using them, and you're ready to go. Upon power-up, the player runs you through a series of configurations to set language, power preferences, and to properly set up overscan to take advantage of your screen. You'll also be given the choice of a wireless or wired connection to the internet. You are then prompted to enter the Google account you'll be using with your Google TV and asked for your backup preferences. After setting your zip code, audio, and cable box preferences, the Google TV is now ready to use with a set of the most commonly used applications, including Netflix, YouTube, and Chrome. Additional applications are available through the Google Play Store, as are the full catalog of Google movies and TV series. The interface was slick and snappy. It was relatively easy to find content I was looking for, be it through Netflix, YouTube, or the Google Store. The keyboard and touchpad made it much easier to use the Google interface than a typical TV or cable box remote, and video and audio quality were top-notch, with no hint of stutter, lag, or pixelation. There are a few apps that work quite well on Google TV, including Pandora, YouTube, and Netflix, but there are still a fraction of the Play Store apps available for use on the GS7. This is partly made up by the inclusion of a Google Chrome browser, which I found to be full-featured and quite usable, but somehow still out of place and mismatched to the style of Google TV. the Sony GS7 definitely has a few things going for it. It is undoubtedly the best Google TV device ever to have come out, much better than the first generation. It's faster, it's slicker, it's easier to set up, easier to use, and it has ports galore. Everything from HDMI in and out with the control channel so I can control other devices through the HDMI connection, to USB, Ethernet, optical audio out, and, the IR blaster. That being said, that's about it. On the con side, it still feels very much unbaked, unfinished. Some applications work, but some others don't. Some others don't work right. A good example would be picture-in-picture. Now, there's a really cool feature that I can use where I can put applications next to one another, or I can put one application within another application. It's intuitive. I should be able to put one application here and have content over here, but that's not how it works in Google TV. Some applications can be pictured and windowed, and some others can't. Now, I'm sure there's reasoning behind it, but it doesn't feel intuitive. So what happens is I end up being frustrated that I can't get the content and watch it the way I want to watch it. Now, the remote control is another thing. I actually really like this remote control. I thought it was cool. I fell in love with it the first time I saw it at Google I.O. I like the fact that it has a full-size keyboard. I like the fact that it has a touchpad on the back. I like the fact that they built in sensors and accelerometers so I can use the remote as an actual game controller. But my enthusiasm for the device as a developer did not translate into the enthusiasm of the people who actually used it. They found it clunky, they found it complicated, and, they just gave up. Now, they could fix this. They could make a firmware patch that makes the apps run better. They could, redesign the actual usage of the buttons on the remote so that it made more sense. But for right now, if I'm looking at buy, try, or don't buy, this is a definite don't buy. This is the Sony GS7 Google TV.
That's a little disappointing to me. You know, I have the original Logitech review, and there's so much to like about this. They made some great improvements. I think HDMI, CEC, the ability to control a bunch of devices. This remote is pretty slick. I agree with you on all the points. And I also agree with you, I guess, that it doesn't solve the problem it's meant to solve.
Exactly. I mean, it's slick hardware. It's fast. The remote is really cool. But if you're a regular user, you want to be able to look for your content in one place.
Yes.
You want to type in Game of Thrones
right.
and be able to find out exactly where it is. You don't want to have to go from app to app to app. And unfortunately, you still have to do that with the Google TV.
Not Google's fault. It's just that folks at Hulu and everywhere else aren't making that information available
exactly.
outside of their app.
Yeah, which is why it's a don't buy right now, because at this price
right.
point, it's just not enough functionality.
It's too much. Yep.
But if Google could fix those licensing problems,
right.
this would be a very compelling device.
So close. They're getting closer every
really
night.
Close.
Padre, so good to see you. Padre SJ in our chat room, Father Robert Ballester. Make sure you watch This Week in Enterprise Tech every Monday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern time.
I'll
it's a
there.
Really great show. I'm going to take the mic because we're going to go cross stage now and say hello to Tony Wang. I love this show because it's a chance to not only show off all of this beautiful stuff that we spent so much money building in our new studios. Can I call it new studios if it's a year old? But also it's a chance to get everybody on camera. We don't see enough of Tony Wang. Let me give you the microphone, Tony. Tony Wang is, you're a senior editor now. You schedule all the editors. You
yeah.
charge everything. And you edit a goodly number of the shows. But you're also, I know, a photo bug.
Oh, yeah. I love taking pictures.
Yeah. So. We always give you the good cameras.
Yeah.
This is an unusual one. This
yeah,
is from Samsung. Look at that. You can see yourself in it.
Yeah.
Well, tell me about it. What is this?
Well, it's a Samsung DV300F. And so. Basically a point-and-shoot with a display built in the front.
Let's take a look at Tony's review.
I'm Tony for Twit.tv and Before You Buy, and today I'm here to review the Samsung DV300F point-and-shoot camera.
The Samsung DV300F is $199 MSRP, and you can probably find it street price for $149 or less. I have to say I'm pretty impressed for something that's entry-level. It's got pretty crucial built-in features. You have all the different photo modes. It's even got a fireworks mode as well as some, you know, sport mode, and it's got Wi-Fi built in, and you have your standard social network. You got Facebook, Picasa, Photo Bucket, and YouTube for uploading your video. And once your Wi-Fi is set up, you can just upload it straight from your camera. My favorite feature is the Mobile Link app, where you can actually go and you can just install the free app on your smartphone, Android smartphone, and send the photos from your camera over Wi-Fi. Or if you want to, you can take your memory card from this camera and pop it into your phone, because it's actually shooting all the photos to a micro SD card. The most outstanding feature on this camera is the 1.5 inch forward-facing LCD display that's hidden in the camera when it's off. And, you know, the function of this camera is really, it's for fun. And with the display, you can take pictures with your friends. And that's what I did. I took a lot of pictures with my friends. So, and while you're taking these pictures, you notice that if you're doing it indoor, you might want to have the flash on. It's hard to keep the camera stable when you're holding it one-handed and pointing at you and your friends. And image quality is not bad. It's 16 megapixel, but it is shooting JPEG, so doesn't leave you much to work with in post-production. Overall, the face detection works really well. Most of the time, it picks up at least one other person in the photo, if not both, and it will focus on that, on the face. Camera also shoots 720p HD video in 30 frames per second as well as 15 frames per second. The image quality is okay, and the audio quality leave much to be desired.
Watch out, mother lovers, now I'm about get set go! Oh my good God! You guys are so awesome!
Pros and cons. The camera has Wi-Fi built in, that's a pro. The nifty 1.5 inch display, front-facing display, is very useful if you like taking a lot of pictures with your friends. The compact size and the well-built quality is also a pro. Con the camera, the digital zoom is practically useless, and the camera only shoots JPEG.
Buy, try, or don't buy, I'm going to have to say it's a don't buy based on the image quality and also usability of the camera. I'm Tony for Twit.tv, and before you buy, and this is the Samsung DV300F.
Don't buy, but this is the perfect Facebook camera because it has a picture of you right on the front. Now, this is kind of cool, too. You found this is a...
Yeah, it's actually the children mode.
So I don't know if you can see this, but there's a... Maybe Chad, maybe you can get that shot. There's a little kitty video on there. Can you see that? Yeah. And the idea is when you're using this camera, the kid stares at the video... It doesn't notice you're taking pictures and is laughing, too.
Yeah, it doesn't work with Ozzy. I don't know what happened.
No, in fact, I don't think this will work with anybody. You find that amusing? It's just dumb.
Yeah.
But anyway, too bad because I love the front-facing LCD, yeah. And it looks pretty good. You can't see it when it's off. You can't tell it's there. All right, don't buy. Thank you, Tony. You can keep it. Let's walk over to – appreciate it. Tony Wang, one of our stalwarts, one of the first employees at Twit. We're going to walk over to the Before You Buy / Gizwiz / – whatever the hell else we use this set for, set, and say hi to Chad. You can put the camera away now, Chad.
Hey, how's it going?
So, Chad, here's your mic.
Thanks.
This is the Chromebook.
Correct.
Series 5. We showed you last week the Chrome box. These are more things that, frankly, Google has to give away, to be honest with you. They gave this away at Google I.O. This is a laptop running Chrome OS.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's take a look at your review.
Sounds good.
Hi, my name is Chad Johnson. I'm with Twit, and Before You Buy, reviewing the Samsung Chromebook. This is an updated Chromebook to their last Chromebook, which I also reviewed on Before You Buy earlier this year. Let's start off this review with the hardware. It's a slim design, not as thin as, say, an Ultrabook, and it is of plastic construction. The on the left side of the Chromebook, we have a power input, an Ethernet jack, which actually folds down to take a full Ethernet cable, DisplayPort and USB, and then finally mic and headphone here at the end. On the right side, you have a lock connector for keeping your laptop locked down, USB port, and then also an SD card slot, which doesn't need to be covered because it has a little flip-down cover right there. On the back, you have a SIM card slot if you have the 3G compatible version. And then the display is a 12.1-inch display, and that's coming in at 1280 by 800 resolution. So you can actually watch HD content with this computer. The keyboard is a chiclet-style keyboard, and then there's a glass oversized trackpad, which the whole trackpad depresses when you click on it. Inside this Chromebook, there is a Intel Celeron 1.3 GHz dual-core processor, 4 gigs of RAM, and then 16 gigabytes of internal storage. That internal storage is used for offline docks, which now some of the apps inside the Chrome Web Store supports. Let's get into the pros and cons of this Chromebook. First, really, really fast startup. From absolute shutdown to startup, it's about 8 seconds long. Also, the updates happen behind the scenes, and it's you pretty much don't see it at all. If you ever shut down the Chromebook and turn it back on, you're up to date. Also, you don't have to worry about viruses at all with this Chromebook. Some of the cons are the connectivity. Out here in this alley, I don't have any Wi-Fi, so I kind of have a $500 brick. It really doesn't do anything. Also, the screen wasn't as good as I'd want. Its vertical angle was really, really bad. Horizontal angle was okay, but vertically, I had to adjust the screen an awful lot to get a good point of view. And then also the price, coming in at $500 for the Wi-Fi version and then $550 for the 3G version, that was a little bit steep. In using the Chromebook, I found it really, really usable. The now windowed OS is really, really, really useful. Definite upgrade compared to the other Chromebook. Buy, try, don't buy for the Samsung Chromebook Series 5. I'm going to have to say don't buy. Unfortunately, it's just a little underpowered for what I want. I don't have connectivity everywhere at the moment, and I would truly rather just buy a tablet nowadays instead of a $500 computer replacement. That's it. I've been Chad Johnson for Twit and Before You Buy. Thanks for watching. See you next time.
I have to say that seems like a steep price. Would your recommendation have changed if it were $300?
Yes. Yeah. The older model is $100 less. Yeah. $400. So if it was less than an iPad, maybe. If it was the same price as the Asus Chrome, as the Nexus 7.
Yeah.
I'd say go ahead.
$250. You know, you could get a Windows laptop for roughly the same price.
Right.
So
right.
I just don't see them competing in a market where you can get so much more.
I agree.
If it were less, maybe.
And the pros of having an instant boot and...
So how quickly that came back on.
And the, like, those are some pros, but...
Not enough. MacBook Air does that.
Yeah.
Most Windows, they're going to be competing against Windows 8 machines. It'll do that, too.
Yeah.
All right, Chad Johnson, thank you. Chad is, of course, our camera operator for the show. Back to work, Johnson! And the producer of Twit, Twig, Mac Break Weekly. He works very hard around here, and it's great to have you. Let's take a long walk. Chad, you're going to have to lead me. Whoa. Boy, you did that well until you hit the wire. He's going to... I mentioned while we're going over to say hi to Nicole Lee, you can catch all our shows on YouTube, youtube.com/twit. We're going to have a Before You Buy channel on YouTube very soon. You can also email us if you've got suggestions for something you'd like to see reviewed or complaints about anything you saw on the show, byb@twit.tv. Let me walk over here and say hello to Nicole Lee, our show's producer.
Hello.
For many years, reviewed cell phones at CNET, so we give you all the cell phone reviews. Since you've seen them all.
Most of them.
This time, now I liked the Incredible when it came out, the HTC Incredible.
Yes.
Early Android phone. It was a beautiful bit of hardware. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of the first Nexus 1. It came out before the Nexus 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is the third generation of Incredibles.
Yes, this is the third generation Droid Incredible 4G LTE. And as this name suggests, it has 4G LTE. And that's basically
nice.
the big difference between this one and its predecessors. But as you can see, the design is pretty much unchanged from the previous Incredibles. You know, the very... I have to say, having used all these different Android phones with 4.3-inch screen size or bigger, the 4-inch screen seems almost too retro.
They've gotten small, haven't
yeah.
they? Yeah.
So it's a little interesting.
But if you're looking for a smaller
yes.
phone, this might be a good choice.
If you think the 4-point, you know, the Galaxy S3 is too big for
right.
you or something like that, this is probably a
this
nice...
This is a good-looking screen. Now,
yeah.
it reminds me very much of a kind of a small HTC One,
mm-hmm.
their big brother product. Is mm-hmm. It's an ILS LCD?
It's a Super LCD, according to HTC.
Okay.
And it's a QHD resolution, not the highest resolution
right.
phone out there. The screen does look good.
I'd say it's pretty. It has this new HTC Sense
4.0 mm-hmm.
running
so
4.0 Jelly Bean as well.
No, this is not Jelly Bean. This is Ice Cream Sandwich.
Ice Cream Sandwich,
yes.
okay.
Which is, I mean, since
that's
Jelly Bean
fine.
Is so
that's
new,
standard,
I mean, that's,
yeah.
pretty, that's pretty acceptable.
And I like the new HTC Sense. I've always liked Sense, but I think 4.0 answers a lot of complaints people had about Sense. It's good looking. It's easy to use. Of all of the customizations, it's the one that seems the most different.
And I think, you know, if you're not happy with Ice Cream Sandwich, as some people are, this provides the same Android look and feel that some people, you know, love.
Well, I noticed it solves one of the things I hate about Ice Cream Sandwich. It does have capacitive buttons at the bottom
yes.
that don't move. I don't like it that Ice Cream Sandwich can move the buttons anywhere it wants on
yeah,
the screen.
Yeah, so like at the bottom here, you know, you have the back, the home, and then this interesting HTC
what's that?
Thing where you can sort of flip through your open programs. In a
okay, well, you know,
cascading fashion.
Ice Cream Sandwich does that too, but it does it in a stack. So this
yeah.
is just a different looking.
A different look.
Recent apps, same idea.
Yeah. Same idea.
How about power and memory and all the
right,
hardware?
Right. So
specs?
It has a 1.2 gigahertz dual core processor.
Okay.
Which is, you know, I mean, not the fastest out there, but pretty good considering.
Plenty fast.
On the back, there is an 8 megapixel camera. Quality. I don't know. I'm so spoiled with the 4S. I don't think it really matches up to that, I feel. But the quality was still pretty good. Pretty good for what it is. Under bright sunlight, it looks fine. Kind of saturated. I do love the camera speed, though. Let me try to take a camera shot.
Getting into the camera. Look how fast that was. That was almost instantaneous.
It's instant. So
yeah.
And
shooting is pretty quick.
Snapping is like really fast.
That's one thing I think Ice Cream Sandwich has really improved
right.
is the
so
speed
like
the of
the
camera.
The speed overall is really
yeah.
good.
But as always, when you have a manufacturer like HTC, you're not using the Android camera app. You're using
HTC's
camera app. Does it have panorama and some other features?
It has all of those
HDR,
features. HDR,
smile
yeah.
Shot.
It's all of those. Smile shot, especially.
Yeah.
So
that's cool. That's where you're taking a picture of somebody. Until they smile, I won't shoot the shot.
Yeah,
I like
I know.
That. I think that's a great idea.
So one of the big features of this phone is that it has 4G LTE. Now, I live in San Francisco.
So
and
you
we
get,
do
4G.
Get 4G LTE.
See, I've ignored it because we don't have it in Petaluma. Big
so,
difference?
Absolutely.
So here's your speed test results.
Let me try to get to the
yeah.
results there.
Yeah.
So these, the two on the bottom, I don't know if you can see it on the screen here. The two on the bottom are in San Francisco.
23 megabits down?
Yeah. That's
what?
Down and up. So that's the first one is down and the second one is
20,
up.
You're getting more up than down? No,
yeah,
no, it's the other way around.
Well, it depends. Like the download is 25, 2.5.
Okay, it's fast.
It's fast. Compared to,
holy cow, that's fast.
That's really, and compared to Petaluma, which I just tested recently, and it's like
there's a big difference.
A big
but
difference.
But we're 3G, we're not 4G. So
we're
that's
3G
the kind of.
Here.
You're getting 10 times faster.
10
you're
times.
Getting faster than a cable modem in most cases.
Absolutely. So.
Wow. How about battery life? Is that impacted by the 4G?
I really think so. Like right now, I'm struggling. I have like 10% battery life.
Oh, yeah.
Right
you're almost at the end. It's only 4 in the afternoon.
So,
I hate that.
Yeah, so it's, I think, 1,700 milliamp battery.
Now, the HTC One
battery.
Does not have a removable battery. Does
this
the Incredible?
This does have a removable battery.
I think that's
battery.
Key. You gotta, if you can put another battery, so what? Big deal. You just bring one in your pocket and pop
you
it.
You can
in.
Even get those battery extenders. You can sort of make your phone a little thicker, but it does last a little,
right.
last a little longer.
Now, this is a Verizon-only phone or are
yes,
other
it
carriers
it is a Verizon-only
phone. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And how much?
It is $150 with a two-year contract.
That's competitive. That's good.
My only sort of gripe with that, and we'll get to that in the pros and cons section, is that for $50 more, you can get the S3.
You're this close.
You're this close to getting a really good phone.
And you still pay the same monthly data fees, so it's not like you're really saving much money over 2 years.
Right. I mean, it's. I mean, let's do the pros and cons.
Okay. Pros.
Pros. It's fast. Zippy, 4G yeah. LTE. You really can't beat that if you live in a Verizon area, especially. The camera quality is pretty good. The shutter speed was, I thought, was decent. And it has Beats Audio, if you care about that kind of thing.
That's
Beats
the distinctive
audio.
Red ring you now see on HTC phones. That tells you, because HTC bought, at least bought a stake in Dr. Dre's Beats. Yeah.
So the audio quality was quite good, I have to say. I like it.
Has the Beats headphones.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Cons. So again, the cons is that it doesn't really stand out from the rest of the Android field. You have the S3, you have the One X, you have all of these really, really good phones. Right. That it just doesn't stand out, I feel, from all of those other competitors.
The screen is smaller. That might be a plus, but it's thicker.
It's not as small a phone.
It's a right. odd combination.
Another sort of con, like I said before, is the price. It's $150. For only $50 more, right. you get a really good phone. For another, like, maybe $100 more, you get, like, an especially amazing phone.
I'm guessing here, but I'm thinking this is a don't buy.
The thing is, if I say don't buy, it's a really terrible product. And it's
not a terrible product. It's a great product.
It's a great product. So I have to say it's a try.
Right.
Just because for some people the size is perfect.
Right.
For some people that you know they don't really care about the size of the S3.
Right.
But you know it kind of really depends on what you want from a phone. And from my perspective, it's a try.
One last question: given that you're getting such incredible internet speeds on 4G, does it have tethering or hotspotting?
Yes, it does. It does have Wi-Fi hotspot for up to 5 connected devices.
See, that's great. That could be. I know that Verizon caps it and so forth, but that could really be a great Wi-Fi access point for a lot of people with that kind of speed. Yeah. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole Lee, thank you so much. Nicole Lee produces the show. In fact, we wouldn't have a show if it weren't for Nicole. And Brian Burnett, our technical director, and Chad Johnson, our camera gang. Thanks to Chad for reviews, as well as Tony Wang and Father Robert Ballester, and of course, Nicole. Thanks to you for watching the show. We do Before You Buy live, believe it or not. Every Tuesday, about 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. That's 2200 UTC on twit.tv. Do watch live. We love getting the feedback as we're doing the show from the chat room. But, of course, we make on-demand audio and video available always after the fact at twit.tv/BYB. Email Nicole, BYB@twit.tv. Watch our videos and tell your friends on YouTube. That's youtube.com/twit. And come back here next week for 4 more great reviews. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us. And remember, you gotta watch before you buy. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.